Turning your Bibles, please, to Psalm 139. If you need the pew Bible, if you need the Bible in front of you, it is on page 444. And so if you will look at that, we're going to read verses 1 through 18. And boy, what a great psalm. And I trust you'll open your Bible up, follow the outline, find the outline. It's just a simple outline to walk you through this. I have some more explanatory information to share with you that'll just help you with this, because this is a great portion. This is a great portion of Scripture for our teenagers, and it's for everyone, but every teenager ought to be engaged in this, and it'd be good if the teens were seated with mom and dad and sitting with their Bibles open and going through this together, because there's so much in here that is a reminder for us of what's going on in our society today, and just of our relationship with the Lord and just His creation. There's two questions. Now, I've given you a question, as I've given on all of these as we've worked through this, and next week we'll finish up Psalm 139. But you have the question today: how carefully has God made me? Now, early on we looked at how well does God know me, verses 1 through 6. And if you'll follow along as I read this and just think about that question: how well does God know me? In the ESV, it reads like this: search me, O God, and know my heart. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Isn't that a great great portion of Scripture to answer that question? How well does God know me? The omniscience of God. And then you see verses 7 through 12, how close is God to me? The omnipresence of God. Verse 7, where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. The omnipresence of God. Just a reminder that everything, every person, is always in the immediate presence of God. And then we begin in verse 13, we read through verse 18, how carefully has God made me? What a fantastic portion of Scripture, and I hope you'll stay with me and just think about this and just really make application to this. Look at verse 13. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for just the precious truth that you give to us. And we thank you for the privilege of just opening the Word and just the Word that you have revealed to us. And I pray today that you will bless and strengthen and encourage and just help us as we focus on your truth today. I pray that we might be encouraged as we consider the importance of your Word. I pray that we might be encouraged and allow the Holy Spirit to bring conviction and to open up our hearts to teach us that which we need to know and to learn and to grow. We ask it in Jesus' name, in whose precious name we pray. Amen. So many people today struggle with identity, and we see that in the first six verses. As we think about God and just His great blessing, His omniscience, many people struggle with loneliness. And for a Christian, he's just reminding us in verses 7 through 12 of His presence always. And then as we approach this portion today, we see the omnipotence of God. And just a reminder of the problem of self-image. I hope you'll just pause and remind yourself of just how important you are to God. Sometimes we forget that. Now, I'm going to walk you through the text and try to explain some things. Then I have a couple of paraphrases that I want to share with you that hopefully will just help this to be self-explanatory for us and just to encourage us and help us and remind us of this great truth. And you think about just how important the Scriptures are. You'll notice in verses 13 through 16, the Scriptures just remind us that God knows what you are. 17 and 18, He reminds us that He knows what you think. Now, just ponder that today. God knows what you are. He knows what you think. And boy, this is one of the great portions of Scripture just to remind us of God's creation. And, you know, it's important for us to understand. And let me just mention early on that that it's easy for people to lose sight of God's teaching. It's unfortunate that years ago, Charles Darwin wrote a book called The Origin of the Species. And you know, when you think about Darwin and just his ungodly endeavor to do away with a belief in God and God's creation, those of us who trust in the Word of God and we believe the Word of God, I mean, we start with Genesis 1:1. God created. God. And when you think about Darwin's effort, what Darwin did, he made it possible for those who do not want to believe in God to have something else to try to trust in. And I would encourage you to make sure, and that's why I said early on, boy, you know, every young person who's still in school or college ought to be aware of this portion of Scripture, and I hope parents you'll feel the led later on to maybe read through this and help them to understand it. It always amazes me, you know. Your kid gets up when school starts and says, "Well, I don't want to go to school today." Well, that's unheard of. You wouldn't put up with that in a minute. But to get up and say, I don't want to go to church or Sunday school, and okay. And it just amazes me how we lose sight of what's important to God. And we'll let them go to the school system where they're going to teach and preach and brainwash them with Darwin's theory, and yet we have here God's truth, God's everlasting, eternal, uncompromising truth. And that's what makes this so important to us today. The first six verses, we discovered that God knows us thoroughly. He knows us completely. He's omniscient. We learned that God is in full control. Nothing occurs outside of the realm of God's sovereign will because God is omnipotent. And then we saw also that he knows us and he's always near us, his omnipresence. And so now we consider the Lord's skill as a creator. And I'll tell you, every believer, listen to me, every Christian ought to be familiar with this portion of Scripture. I hope that you'll devotionally later read through this again. And I hope you'll consider finding a good English version that will help you to understand it. If you don't understand that which you're looking at. John Phillips broke this down into two sections. He said, first we see that he created me, verses 13 through 16. Then he says in verses 17 and 18, he considers me. And that's a good way to look at it. God is all-knowing, he's ever-present, and he's all-powerful. God is aware that the darkness could not hide him from God. David was moved to meditate on God's supernatural superintendence, even in the most private parts of the mother's womb. And these verses describe reproduction. And they do it in a way to share with us the most touching and tenderness in all the Bible. Realizing that he has been fearfully and wonderfully made, David considers God's orchestrating all of this truth and dealing with conception and development. You knit me together in my mother's womb. My frame, which means skeleton, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. Verses 17 and 18, your eyes saw my unformed body. Verses 13, 15, and 16. And so God is fully understandable. God is cognizant of the union of the sperm and the egg, the attachment of the embryo to the uterine lining, and the development of that tiny life according to his timetable. And it is amazing that we have grown up in a society where, science, 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 and here we are supposed to be advanced. And we're ready to throw science aside in so many situations. And that's why it's so important that in our society today, from this portion of Scripture, that we be reminded afresh and anew that God created male and female. That's science. I mean, and there's no other way to explain it. So let's look at the portion here. This beautiful song filled full of poetry. And, of course, Psalms was their songbook. Remember that they were singing this. And David, the singer, and just declaring this great theology, but also reminding us of God's truth and how sure we can be of his truth. And so we see the subtle uncertainty, how it just grinds away from us. And one of the best proofs that God exists and that he does all these things and is the human body. And I'll tell you, the human body, just to think about what's going on in this human body is just unbelievable. And how someone could step back and say, well, I think this just happened out of circumstance. Dan was praising the Lord in Sunday school this morning at our 9:30 Bible study about how God led in the performance of his catheterization, and he was able to put stents in and to keep his heart. And the whole body, just to think about the heart and the veins and the blood and the skeleton and the nervous system and how all of this, and to think that, wow, this just poof. And so we need this portion of Scripture. We need to understand and to comprehend God's creation here. So consider how carefully he has made us. And some commentators have said that this section of biblical truth is one of the most remarkable revelations in all of Scripture. And when you think about all that he's teaching us here, that's understandable. Remember, it was written by David in a day when anatomy and embryology were relatively unknown. You think about when this was written. And of course, we realize that all Scripture was inspired of God and that God led David to give us his truth. And you think about the unknown subjects and how primitive it had to be even back at that time compared to where we are today. And yet here in this song, reminding us of the prenatal stages of development that they are set forth with just this amazing insight and simplicity. We see the simplicity, but we see yet how profound this is. Now, the point that David declares in this is that only a God who knows us and is near us could be so intimately involved in making us. And you think about this body that God has given us. And God is saying, you know, I have formed you exactly how I want you to be formed. And I have made you in my image. And I'm expecting you to be a caretaker of all that I have developed within you. And you know as well as I that we don't always do a good job of taking care of this creation that God has put together in this body. Sometimes we talk about recovery issues. We talk about just, you know, how you can destroy this body through alcohol and drugs. But listen, you can destroy this body in a number of different ways. We can eat ourselves to death. There are just numerous ways that we can ignore and neglect what God has given us, because he's saying, not only did I create you in my image, but I expect you to treat this temple of God with respect and reverence because I created you. David knew nothing of the modern science, nothing of the mysterious process by which a baby grows in the womb. He had only the haziest of idea about these things, but he knew enough to be aware of the process that the Holy Spirit led him in. Now you look at verse 12 again. Even the darkness is not dark to you. Even the night is bright as the day, for darkness is light with you. In God's sight, he's saying, there's no darkness. And you think about him telling us of darkness and the inability of humanity to hide from God. And these previous verses speak of hidden or remote places as being well known and under this surveillance of God. And you look at verse 13 then, and follow your outline there as you see God reminds us of the womb. Verse 13, he said, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb." It transports us into the womb, a place of intimacy and darkness. And it's here that the songwriter builds his case. He says, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me." The "you" is emphatic there. And read that with emphasis yourself, to yourself. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. The idea is you, yourself, and no other. This is not some freak accident of nature. This didn't just happen through some interesting circumstances one day, as Darwin wanted us to believe. This had nothing to do with Mother Nature. This was not a natural process. And see, that's what we deal with when we think of humanism and philosophical disagreements in the scriptures today. It's a matter of the natural and the supernatural. And you have to be willing to say that you know, I don't always understand the supernatural, but this is God's truth. And this miracle of the womb, it is God alone and no other. Linger over the emphasis there of the form. When this verb appears in the original Hebrew, we're told that it carries the idea of to originate. "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb." And now when David wrote this, he's reminding us that God originates our inward parts. And it's surprising to know, if you go back and look at this in the original literal language, the inward parts literally means kidneys. In ancient times, the kidneys were symbolic of all of our vital organs: kidney, heart, lung, liver, and etc. And the verse goes on to say that God did weave me together in the womb. God did weave me together in the womb. The verb there suggests the idea of knitting together like an interwoven mass or a thicket. Some of you do weaving, and Etta showed me this this beautiful quilt she put together recently, and we see, and if you ever look at the back of something somebody's working on, or you look at the beginning of that, you begin to appreciate and understand what he's saying here. God is involved in placing all the organs and the various parts of our body together in such a well-formed fashion. Someone referred to it as a veritable thicket of muscle, tendons, bone, blood, veins, and arteries. And very few of us can understand the complications of this. But it is a miraculous thing, is it not? To think about what God has given us. One writer paraphrased verse 13. He said, verse 13 reads in the original text like this: "For God alone, none other, originated my vital organs. You knitted my inner being together in the womb of my mother." And boy, what a great paraphrase. And now you look at verse 14. And I was thinking when I was just reading that early part there, you know, think about something that's important for us to realize. Does the presence of birth defects change the value of a human life? I have a little granddaughter. She's 6 years old. She'll be 7 in October. She has something called Williams syndrome. And she's a special needs child. There's characteristics that she could have been born to a better family. They're just really committed. One of the reasons my youngest son and his wife and family moved to Houston recently is There's a hospital in Houston doing advanced research into Williams syndrome. They connected, sent all her records before they got there, and they've already had her in for, and there are certain characteristics of this. But what a blessing to be born into a Christian family that worships God, and they're already making decisions to make sure that she is taken care of as she grows older. One of the characteristics, her body will always remain small. She's very tiny. She's 7 years old, and her six-year-old sister's sister will be six in October, and she's beginning to outgrow her. One of their characteristics, they're just outgoing. They never see a stranger. If she came in this church, if she walked up to Shirley, she'd say, "Hi, my name's Maureen. What's your name?" And if Shirley reached out for her, she'd climb right up in her and let her hug her, and she'd let her pick her up. She'd do the same thing with anybody in here. She just doesn't know a stranger. That's one of the ways they have to protect her. If Tim takes her to the park, he said she always migrates to the older people. And if she sees someone sitting on a bench, an older person, she'll walk right over and sit down with them. And, "Hi, my name's Warren. What's your name? What are you doing?" And she just doesn't know a stranger. But it is amazing to be reminded that God created her, and he has a purpose for her life. And she's important to God just as she's important to them. Now you look in verse 14. "I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Some say the Hebrew reading there would be, "I am fearfully set apart." One commentator said you could read it, "Fearfully wonderful. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well." And so you see the celebration there of human life. And isn't this true? We're a species of just wonder and supernatural magnificence. No one would argue that the human body is just a phenomenal combination of strength and beauty and coordination and grace and balance on the outside. But if you think the outside is remarkable, just look at pictures of the inside. I go to my cardiologist, and I'm always fascinated while I'm in there waiting for him to come. And they got this stuff on the wall, and man, I just start looking at that heart, and I start looking at the blood running through and it is just fascinating. And then I say to myself, "Why didn't you pay better attention when you were studying science in high school and college?" It just reminds you how remarkable it is. And if you think of, you know, just how remarkable you talk about something wonderful, then you look at verse 15. "My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth." And that describes our origin. Isn't this true? Just a species of wonder. We sometimes refer to our body shape as our frame. Our body, the original Hebrew term, means bony substance or skeleton. Our skeletons are not hidden from God when they were made in secret. And we see in the depths of the earth, he reminds us there, "My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth." Just this expression here of a protected place, a concealed and safe place, as you may hide a treasure or you bury something. And the secret place, a reference to the womb, the Hebrew word translated skillfully wrought literally means variegated, like a multicolored piece of cloth. Moses used the same Hebrew term in Exodus when he referred to the making of the curtains in the ancient tabernacle. Again, a paraphrase there. "My skeleton and bones were not hidden from you when I was made in that concealed place of protection, when my veins and arteries were skillfully embroidered together in variated colors like fine needlepoint. And we just see how important this is. And you begin to see God's sovereignty here develop in verse 16. Chuck Swindoll said he was brought to reality with this understanding. Several years ago, he had a conversation with a young man doing his medical internship. He was studying to be a surgeon. He commented on a beautiful color scheme that God has placed within our inner bodies. He stated that there are definite colors in our various organs, that the veins and arteries almost make the inner network appear variated in color. He smiled when I informed him that David used those exact words in his song centuries ago. And then in verse 16, David reminds us of God's sovereignty. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. God's eyes, looking up on this unformed substance, the Hebrew verb there is a descriptive statement that he's making on our behalf and reminding us of. And you just see the importance again of God's truth and God's emphasis coming to us, and how God relates all of this in such a special way. I wanted to just read you a couple of paraphrases that I came across that would just help remind us of just the importance of this. As we move into verses 17 and 18, we see that God constantly thinks of us. Look at those two verses. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you. One writer paraphrased this whole thing. Now listen to this carefully. For you, God, and none other, originated my vital organs. You knitted me together in the womb of my mother. My skeleton and bones were not hidden from you when I was made in the concealed place of protection, when my veins and arteries were skillfully embroidered together in variegated colors like fine needlepoint. Your eyes watched over me when I was just an embryo, and in your book, the days I should experience were all described and recorded, the kind of days that would shape me into the person you want me to be. Even before I had been born, how priceless and mighty and vast and numerous are your thoughts of me, O God. Should I attempt to count them? They would outnumber the sand on the seashore. And your plan isn't limited just to this life. Should I die, I would awaken securely in your arms. I would be with you more than ever before. What a fantastic thought. What an unbelievable thought. And then another paraphrase that John Phillips gave us. Now listen to this. If David knew enough to be awed, what about us? We know that every living creature is made up of microscopic cells so small that the letter O on a page would contain between 30 to 40,000 of them. Each microscopic cell is a world in itself, containing an estimated 200 trillion tiny molecules of atoms. Each cell, in other words, is a micro-universe of almost unbelievable complexity. All these cells put together made up a living creature. Each cell has its own specialized function, and each works to an intricate timetable which tells it when to grow, when to divide, when to make hormones, when to die. Every minute of every day, some 3 billion cells of the body die, and the same number are created to take their place. I keep praying that my new creation will be just a little smaller than it was before. During any given moment in the life of any one of these cells, thousands of events are taking place, each one being precisely coordinated at the molecular level by countless triggers. The human body has more than a million of them. A million in each square inch of skin, 30 billion in the brain, billions of red blood cells in the veins. Obviously, such a complicated and unerring development of cells cannot possibly be the result of chance. He created me. God created each and every one of us. He does not leave the creation, the making of a human being, to just the mechanistic form of chance. You are exactly how God wanted you to be. Darwin was so off, so out of it. A lie born out of the straight pits of hell, and by Satan himself. Because Darwin saw an opportunity to just give the unsaved world a chance to find an alternative to God. In the beginning, God. If you agree with that, then you have to agree with the rest of the Word of God. Don Wurtson wrote a song called Fearfully and Wonderfully Made. Fearfully and wonderfully made, I'm unique, one of a kind. Fearfully and wonderfully made, my beginning was God's design. He was with me before my birth, and he formed my being with care. I'm a person of infinite worth, a masterpiece beyond compare. Fearfully and wonderfully made, I'm woven as his tapestry. Fearfully and wonderfully made, I'm created for eternity. His imprint is seen everywhere, and he has plans for me. In secret, he knew I was there, a mystery of God's decree. Fearfully and wonderfully made, I'm woven as his tapestry. Fearfully and wonderfully made, I'm created for eternity. I know some of this was complicated to listen and to put together, and I know you can research and find some of the same information, but I thought that was just a fantastic reminder of just not only how complicated, but how beautiful, how profound, how simple this human life is, and how important it is that we protect it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you so much that we are so wonderfully made. We thank you for a verse like Jeremiah 19:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And so we thank you that we are your children as believers, and we cannot ignore God when he has given us such a marvelous body and a plan for a wonderful life. And I pray that each of us might just be reminded today that God, everything we are and everything we hope to be started with your creation, and you made us exactly as you wanted us to be. And I pray that we will pause today to thank you for such an unbelievable, supernatural creation that we are. We ask it in Jesus' name, in whose name we pray. Amen.